Let's hold up your Bibles and let's pray over the Word. Heavenly Father, your Word is alive. The Word says of itself that it's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I know that a lamp illuminates the space right around me, and the light to my path illuminates things far out in front. And God, right now, we open your Word and ask it to illuminate for us this walk of faith. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Well, I've started a message series now 3 weeks ago called Big Faith. I reminded you guys over the last couple of weeks that in 2016 or 15, I'm not sure which one it was, Big Faith was our theme for the year. And that year, we watched our church grow in faith. We watched our church and the people of our church begin to step out in faith and begin to try things and do things that they had never done before spiritually, so to speak. And we watched the people of our church begin to grow in their faith. That's called spiritual maturity. We watched our church begin to mature. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about faith. And if I went around the room and I began to ask you what is faith, we'd all have some definition of it. But the Bible is very clear and specific about what it is. Actually, many years ago, I had a dream that I was standing on a pulpit much like this one, and I was preaching this word that I'm preaching to you today. Hebrews 11:1 is what it says. Now faith is being sure or certain of what I hope for and absolutely positive of what I do not see. You know, faith is that thing. I've been praying for that, hoping for that, wanting for that, and I see no evidence of that anywhere. Anybody else ever in that? I want you to know, if you can see it, you don't need faith to get it. We see stuff, God, I want that. Well, then just go make that happen. You don't need God to make that happen. You can already see it. But I'm talking about stuff that you can't see. I'm talking about God doing things that are so out of the realm of possibility for you that the only way to get there is by faith. Somebody say amen to that. How many of you like you think you live your lives by faith? Anybody in here a faith walker? I'm a faith walker. I'd say my entire journey with God has been a walk of faith from day one, literally from day one. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of you desire to wake up every day and your goal for the day is at the end of the day, if God were to judge you by the day, he'd say, hey, that was a great day. You lived your life by faith. Hey, you did good today. I know you had some roadblocks. I know there was a few speed bumps in the way. A few things try to pop up, cause a little fear, cause a little anxiety. A few things try to get you go. But you know what? You didn't allow it. You stood in faith. You believed me. You trusted me. Even when you didn't know how it was going to work out. When your boss said that, when your wife said that, when the stock market did that, when this happened or when that happened, you said, I'm not going to be shaken. Like the song we sang, I won't be shaken. You know why? Because my feet are on the solid rock of Jesus Christ by faith. Week number one of the series, I talked to you about making a big commitment. When we step out in faith, many times God asks of us to make big commitments. And I told you that we as a church are making a big commitment to buy this new facility at number 29 Park Place Drive in Covington, right across the street from Home Depot. And this was the entire process has been a walk of faith. From the moment that I heard about the property in a meeting, to us making an offer, to us gathering together and coming up with the money. You know how much money we've raised? How many of you have any idea how much money we've raised? Actual cash dollars to date. No way. $140,745 and some coins. That's pretty good. And we just started that in December of last year. As a matter of fact, I remember there was a couple that showed up at our house on Christmas Eve, and they said they came to bring us a Christmas present. The Christmas present was just a ruse to bring us a check. Not that we minded to get the Christmas present, but they handed us a check, and the check was for $10,000. And I'll never forget, that $10,000 began to unlock people like you and I stepping out in faith. And since December the 24th, not the beginning of December, the end of December, we have watched another $145,000 come in to our church, all because of people like you and I stepping out and walking by faith. We made big commitments. I told you that last week that many times, almost every time that I know of, any time that I've ever stepped out in faith, I'm usually met with some opposition. Can I get an amen to that, right? But we step out in faith and we think, God, I'm going to follow you. Ain't nothing going to stop me now. And the moment we do, bam, there it is right in front of us. Something to kind of get us off track, get our focus messed up, get us to focus on anything but this thing we said we'd do for God. It's no different in this realm of us stepping out in faith to buy this building. It's no different for any of you deciding that you're going to help support this process. The moment that you do, something's going to happen in your life to cause you to doubt, to cause you to fear, to cause you to think twice. And I told you, when that happens, what do we do? Do we just go, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and quit now and go back home and take my ball and quit? No. What we do? We dig in. I'm just going to dig in. I'm going to stand tall. I'm going to stand firm in my faith because I know who I'm standing with. And today I want to talk to you about this topic, that every vessel matters. You're probably wondering why there are lots of jars and bottles and vases and things across the front here. It's because every vessel matters. From this church's inception, every part of this thing has been by faith. My wife and I got a word from God. We didn't get a word from a man. We didn't get somebody saying, here's some money, go start a church. We had a word from God and nothing else. We never had one bit of financial help, one bit of financial backing to go and do what God had called us to do. We trusted that God was calling us to do it by faith. And I'm telling you, there were people around me that said, that's crazy. That doesn't make sense. You know what? Faith usually doesn't make sense, but it makes for a lot of faith. And we stepped out in faith, and here we are, 9 years and 2 months later, and look where we've been. Amen? I'm excited about this process. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4? This is where we're going to study today. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll explain these vases and bottles and jars here in a moment. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. This is what it says. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. My husband loved Jesus. We're a Jesus-loving family. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." And Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" I love her answer. "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except this small jar of olive oil." Elisha said to her, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. And don't just ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side." Then she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then all the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live off of what is left." Some things to know about this woman and her situation. First and foremost, I want you to understand she was a believer, the wife of a prophet of God. She believed in God. Many of you today are believers. You believe in God. You trusted in God. She had some debts. We have some debt. She had some sons. We have some sons. She had a community. She had neighbors. We have a church. We have a community, right? And she had a little oil in a jar. I think we have a little oil in a jar. Seven important things I want to teach you this morning from the story in 2 Kings chapter 4. The first one is this. God doesn't call us to be slaves. Look what the word says in verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." There's a great lesson in this verse we probably all need to get The lesson is that God saved us out of slavery and doesn't want us to go back in. The fact that this woman's husband had a creditor is indication that he was on the hook for something. When Jesus saved you, he saved you from stuff. He didn't save you to stuff. Listen, so often people say that our relationship with God is bondage. Oh, religion is bondage. You know what? Religion is bondage because religion is man-made, but a relationship with God is freedom. And God doesn't call us to bondage. He calls us to freedom. If the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? John 8:35 says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Romans 6:6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Romans 8:15 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. In Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Listen, Jesus doesn't want us to be indebted to anyone or anything. I, too, do not want to be a slave to this campaign. This capital campaign should be a blessing to us. This is not meant to put you in slavery or me in slavery or this church in slavery. As a matter of fact, I hope it's a blessing. You know why it's going to be a blessing? Because one day we're going to be able to go to the bank and say, here, look what we got. Boom. And we're going to pay the debt off. It's going to be a blessing to this church. It's going to be a blessing to you people because you're going to be giving more to doing ministry than paying for buildings. It's going to be a blessing because one day, let me tell you what happened this past week. My wife was reaching out to a lady from church who's a single mom, and she's just going through a difficult season. This lady said to my wife, I got unexpectedly evicted from my apartment. I had to put my son to live with my mom, and I'm living with a friend. I'm basically homeless right now, and I don't have anywhere to go. I have a job. I'm working hard. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm doing my part, but I got unexpectedly evicted, and I don't have the money to go put another down payment or a deposit on an apartment. That's exactly what I'm talking about, folks, that if we were not indebted to a bank, we could say, hey, lady, I will put you up in a house and pay for you to live for 3 months so you can get on your feet and save your money, and one day we're going to send you out to go healthy and whole, ready to go and live your life again. That's what I'm talking about. See, when you understand the why, it makes the what so much easier. Number two, don't overlook what's already in your house. Elisha said to the woman in verse 2, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except this small jar of olive oil. How often do we look at the things in our own house, the little bit that I can give, the little bit that I can commit, and we think, I don't have anything to give. Oh my God, it's a small jar of olive oil. As nothing, my little small jar of olive oil, it's not going to do anything. And God's telling us, quit looking at the size of the jar. Quit looking at this thing through eyes of doubt and eyes of unbelief, and trust God. This little jar of olive oil may be all you need. That little bit in your jar may be all we need to accomplish our goal. And every gift matters. Every size matters. It doesn't matter what you have in your house. You have something. Number three, I want you to remember this. You're not in this alone. God keeps reminding me, Eddie, you're not in this alone. This lady wasn't in her situation alone. Elisha told her, go around and ask all your neighbors. I bet you she forgot she even had neighbors. She's like, are they going to take my sons as slaves? What am I going to do? Stop, lady. Go ask your neighbors for some jars. I'm asking my neighbors for some jars. That's what all these jars represent. And they represent all of us. You know why? Because I'm not in this alone. Look, we're not in this alone. Every jar is up here and every jar matters. It's a community effort. Number four, every vessel matters. You think, well, my jar is just so small. I don't think my jar is going to do much. But he said, go gather jars. I bet you the jars that she gathered probably looked a lot like this. They were different sizes and different shapes. There were big ones and tall ones and fat ones and skinny ones. And there were colored ones and clear ones. And they had some with lids and some without lids. And there were every, and we think, I represent one of them. I'm a tall, skinny one. At least I think I am. And according to society today, whatever you think you are, you are, you are, right? Every vessel matters. Remember, what all of us can do together is greater than what just a few of us can do. Because if we're banding together. I have this picture on my wall in my office, and it talks about teamwork. And he says, individually we're one drop. Together we're an ocean. Try to do it by yourself, it's impossible. But together we can accomplish so much more. You know, God told the people of Israel, one of y'all can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. In other words, when you get together, I multiply the efforts. God multiplies our efforts. We think, well, I just got a little bit, and she got a little bit. We just put our little bit together. Guess what? All of a sudden, that little bit, guys, I put my multiplication on it, and it grows, and it gets bigger. Every vessel matters. God's just looking for the willing vessel. Here, I got a jar. I'll give a jar to you. The only one I got, I only got this little one. I'll give you that one. And guys, that's good enough. We'll take that little jar. That'll work too. The fifth thing I want you to remember is this. We got to pour the oil. 2 Kings chapter 4, the prophet told her, go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled. Not when you get halfway, then go to the next. When each one is filled, put it to the side. She left them and she shut the door behind her. They brought the jars and she kept pouring. As I read this, I thought about this scene. I put myself in the scene. I was in the room with the lady and her sons. And I began to think, you know, I don't think one time did she say, God, I don't know how this is going to happen. That's a lot of jars. And this is just a little bit of oil. And how is this little bit of oil going to fill all these containers, God? You know, God, that's impossible because I know volume. And volume, this is just a little bit. These jars are way bigger than my jar. This won't even fill the first jar. It might fill that little one over there, but it's not going to fill the rest. And she never once tried to figure it out. She never once sat down and tried to calculate it in her head. That's what faith does. Faith says, God, you said pour the oil. I guess I'm going to get to pouring the oil. And that's what God wants from us. Just people who say, all right, God, I don't know how, but I'll pour it. Yes. And any pours in the house. Anybody ready to pour some oil? Come on. We're going to pour the oil together. And we're going to rock with faith, God, right? Say it when you say pour the oil. Y'all didn't say a lot. Say it like you mean it. Say it. Say it. Pour the oil. Come on. Number six. I don't want you to forget this. Don't quit until God says quit. You know what? I love this. She starts pouring that oil. She didn't say, I think if I fill these, we got enough to pay the debt. My sons will be out of slavery. We'll be good to go. We'll be free. She never once, she just said, bring me another one. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. And she kept pouring. And then when she had filled all the jars, then the oil stopped flowing. It says, it never says she ran out of oil. It just says she ran out of containers to put it in. She just, and the oil stopped. All right, you got all you need. And then she went to the man of God, and she said, now what? This is what the man of God basically told him. He's the God of more than enough. This is what I want you to do, lady. I want you to go and sell the oil. Pay off your debts, and you and your sons can live off the rest. Now, we're going to make a few assumptions. You guys, I know it's hard to make assumptions with the Bible. We don't make a few assumptions. First assumption is this. The lady might have been 30, 40 years old. And she probably had another 30, 40 good years to live. And God is saying to us today, not only did she pay the debt, now they were going to take her sons as slaves forever. They were going to live in slavery the rest of their lives. And God said, Now you have paid the debt to get your sons out of slavery, and you and your sons will live off the rest of this, the rest of your lives. You never have to work another day in your life. You know what God's telling us right now? He said, I'm going to give you enough in this campaign to pay that debt, and you're going to be able to live off the rest. What does that mean for us? Live off the rest. That doesn't mean we're going to live fat and happy. It means that we're going to do some ministry in this community like we've never done before, like that lady I just told you about, like many others that are hurting and hopeless in this community. We're going to help people because that's what it's here. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. And one day, 3 years from now, I am believing and trusting that the bank's going to call me. Can I speak to Pastor Eddie? And he's going to say, telephone. Who is it? It's the bank. Yes, can I help you? Yeah, we'd like to come visit. And they're going to come and bring me our canceled mortgage. And I'm going to be doing a revenge like this. And God, thank you. That's only me, my God. Cabbage Patch, that's it. I'm going to dance. We're going to sing. And we're going to burn that sucker. And then we're going to give God praise and say, look what God has done. That's what this is all about, folks. It's us being able to do the ministry because he's the God of more than enough. Here's what I wanted you to remember today. I hope you wrote it down. God doesn't call us to be slaves. This campaign is not about slavery. It's about freedom. It's about us being free, gathering together to do this thing together. It's not overlooking what's already in your house. Don't think that your gift's not big enough, your gift's not good enough. Whatever it is that you have to give, God will use it, and God will use it in a powerful way. Your little bit, God can multiply into doing something great. God, I'm just going to give you what I got. I don't think it ain't much, Jesus, but I'm just going to give it all to you. I'll take you a little bit. I'll do a whole lot with it. Remember this, we're not in this alone. God may take you a little bit, and his a little bit, and her a little bit, and him. And all of a sudden, our little bits add up to a lot of it. Every vessel matters. Doesn't matter the size. Only matters the heart. Quit trying to figure out how. Number 5. I don't know if I even said that just now going through it. Quit trying to figure out how. I bet that this woman sat there and never ever once said, how's this going to work? How's this going to happen? I try to add it all up, Jesus. I don't see how it's going to happen. I quit trying to figure out how it's going to happen a long time ago. Because I'll be quite frank, my brain started to hurt, and it doesn't take much to get my brain started to hurt. And he said, don't quit until God says quit. We're not going to stop until it's done. And God says, he's the God more than enough. Would you stand with me? I know some of you maybe haven't been here over the last several weeks. Some of you have been here kind of in and out. Hopefully, I gave these commitment cards out several weeks ago. And if you don't have one, Peggy has some on the seat here in the front. You're welcome to grab one of those. If you're here and you say, I'm ready to make a commitment to the Lord, I just want to ask you to give a commitment card to come and find a vessel to stick it in. And you can fold it up. Nobody will look at it. And just drop your commitment card in there. I'm going to gather those after church today and just see what God is going to do using us as a people. Together, we're going to accomplish something great. If the rest of you say this, I'm not sure where I'm at in this. I'm not sure if I can or how I can, but I'm praying and I'm asking God. This doesn't matter. If you don't do it today, don't mean you're out. Don't mean you can't. Just means you ain't can today. I want to invite you to the altar. I just want to pray for you as you ask God for your commitment level. God, what's my commitment level? Come on, join me here at the altar. I want to pray for you. And if you're making a commitment, like I said, you can drop it in one of our bases here at the altar. Well, this is a big commitment. It's a 3-year commitment. You can make a commitment one time. I can write a one-time check. Here you go. My wife and I can do ours bi-monthly. We get paid bi-monthly, and I'm committing extra. Now, my wife don't get to eat for the next 3 years, unfortunately. She's going to starve. I told Michael, you get one meal a week. That's it. I'm the only one not going to sacrifice. The rest of them, they all going to sacrifice. Grace don't need to eat. She's This is a community effort, and I thank you for this community involvement, for your support, for your love, and for your sacrifice. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, over each and every person who has made a commitment or is about to make a commitment. God, that you would bless them abundantly. Your word says that he who waters, he himself will be watered. And I pray, God, as we pour out our oil, that you refill us. And you keep refilling us based on our willingness to pour. Thank you, Jesus, for each and every man, woman, and young person here today who's made a commitment. And I pray, God, that they'll see you help them fulfill this commitment to the letter. We thank you, Lord, and ask you to bless them today as they go. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.